everybody knows. But I want to thank everybody for joining us for the online sales peer group. And it's going to be a little bit different. Obviously, we are going to be online all the way through probably the end of December. It has to do kind of with our, Stephen says he'll be back in a couple of minutes. With the space that we're in, we can't have more than, I believe it's 5 guests anyways right now. So we will remain online. I think for some people it ends up being a little bit easier too. So we're glad that you were able to join us. And what I'd like to do is I will get John to introduce himself, but we're transitioning. John has very, very generously offered to be the facilitator of the sales peer group. So thank you very much. We really appreciate that. It's going to be a little bit of a different format. John wanted to make sure it was definitely more about peer group and sharing your ideas, asking any questions that you had. Oh, sorry, that squeaking is the dog playing with their toy now. So any questions that you had and anything that you wanted answered, so any problems that you've got, this is a forum to be throwing this out to the group and getting things going there. So what we'll do is our usual, go around the room and introduce ourselves, and then we'll come back. I'll end with you, John. So for those that don't know me, I am Kelly Phillips, Membership Development Manager here at TechConnects, and I work with the facilitators to help put some of the programs into place and work with the members to see what some of the programming that they would like. So I'm going to pass it on to Ryan.
Hey guys, Ryan Ellis, Membership Director for TechConnects. Kelly and I kind of run the show. So I run it poorly, she runs it well. Just excited to have John come in and give us a different perspective on sales, and we're really looking forward to the conversation today. By the way, Kevin, you look real nice.
Why, thank you, Ryan. I've been waiting for you to say that.
Kevin, you might as well introduce yourself then.
All right. Well, as Ryan already indicated, I'm the good-looking one on the call. My name is Kevin Darcy, founder of ThinkFuel Marketing, and we focus on helping B2B technology companies grow their business through inbound sales and inbound marketing tools and services. And I'm just really excited to be part of the sales peer group, kind of get back into the swing of these again, and looking forward to hearing from John.
Okay, Graham.
Hey guys, my name is Graham Richardson and my business is Richardson International Currency Exchange. So we focus on Canadian SaaS businesses and help them to optimize their foreign exchange. So traditionally they've used the bank, and the bank, as we know, take a fair chunk of change for themselves. So we look to optimize their foreign exchange and help add money directly down to their bottom line.
Excellent. And Carol, we'll put it over to you. So you just have to go off mute.
Oh, yes. Carol Tao, president of Photons. We supply energy efficient LED lights. We help business to reduce energy consumptions by using LED lights. So now I have Peter and Prashant with me for this.
Okay,
yes. And thank you, John, for the facilitator. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Okay, and Stephen, we'll go to you.
Good morning. Stephen Wise, Integration Professionals. I work in mergers and acquisitions, helping companies to go from the letter of intent to close and then do integration once the company has done the close, and help the sales force, the marketing team, the operations team, and the legal team to run the new business.
Excellent. And Sam, and I know Sam is all masked up because I can tell you're in the office. And so anywhere in that space, you have to have a mask on.
Yeah. Good morning, everyone. My name is Sam Andari, S2H, the founders and the builders of DTAR Collect. DTAR Collect is a cloud-based fintech product that helps organizations recover debts. We're an innovation company and have other members of the team. Hopefully they say something good about us too.
Excellent. And we'll go to Akilan.
Hi, good morning. I'm Akilan Teva, founder and CEO of BizRing. BizRing connects real estate investors and homeowners with reputable service providers. and we are in the SaaS model. Our revenue model is SaaS model. Yeah.
Excellent. Peter, did you want to turn it over to you?
Yeah. Hi guys, my name is Peter. I work for Photons, I do sales. Looking forward to this session. Thank you, John.
Okay, and Rami.
Yes, good morning, everyone. My name is Rami. I work with Sam at D2R. I mainly focus on sales and managing the sales teams and the sales funnels.
Excellent, and Nilan.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. This is Nilan speaking. Also working with Rami and Sam at D2R Collect. We're heavily in the virtual selling environment right now, so really excited to hear what this meeting of ours has in store for us.
Excellent. And I, from that perspective, maybe you'll be able to share a lot of things that you guys are doing too, which is great. Okay, yeah. And so at that, I'm going to turn it over to John.
Yeah, thanks, Kelly. My name is John Montgomery. I'm the founder of Sales Jumpstart Services. We help companies generate more revenue through better sales engagements. I'm really excited about the format. When I spoke with Ryan and Kelly over the summer, talked about some ideas as far as what we could do for the sales peer group in a virtual environment as we launch things in September. And really what we're looking to do is to leverage the power of peer within the peer sales group. And it's not as much about what I have to say, or it's not about training. We'll kind of set the stage up front as to the topic and what it is we're looking to talk about. But then we're really going to hand it over to the group to share your experiences, good, bad, and ugly, so that we can all learn from each other what's working, what's not working, and hopefully take some meaningful ideas back to the office that we can apply in our next virtual sales engagement. So that's really the intent. And again, I'm excited about the format. We encourage, obviously, everybody to participate and make sure that we're sharing as much experience as we can, because that's really the power of the group and the power of the format. So today's session is about challenges and opportunities in a virtual selling environment. We thought this was probably a good way to start things off based on where we've all been over the past little while. Obviously, over the past 6 months, many of us have been thrust into this new way of engaging with our prospects and customers. And many of us have struggled to effectively navigate this new virtual environment. But I think it's important to realize that the fundamentals of selling haven't changed. You still need to build trust. You still need to be relevant and add value. You still need to collaborate, and you still need to negotiate to close the deal. And really, for most of us, our sales process hasn't changed significantly either. Unless you're a proverbial door-to-door salesperson who drops the porch dirt on the floor of the unsuspecting housewife or husband so you can demonstrate the power of your vacuum, you're probably taking the same steps to progress through the sales process as you did previously. However, it's the execution of those steps in the process that has changed, and this is where the challenges arise. How do you build rapport when you can't meet in a coffee shop? How do you maintain their attention when you're not in the same room and there are many more distractions? And how do you effectively collaborate when you don't have a whiteboard? That's what we're going to explore together today, the execution of your sales process in a virtual environment and what you've done to effectively overcome some of these challenges and share those experiences back with each other. So to do so, we're going to break out into some small groups. We're going to share some of your personal success tactics, and feel free to share your unsuccessful ones as well, because that's really where we get most of our learnings. And then we're going to come back together, and we're going to share some of the top ideas from each group so that we can all build this list of thoughts that we can take back to, like I said earlier, take back to our office and hopefully apply to our next virtual sales engagement. As we go through this, so let's not forget about some of the opportunities that this new virtual environment has delivered as well. So in many cases, I'm sure you've found prospects and customers may be more accessible. It may be easier to get their time. It may be easier to get to different people within the organization. In many cases, some people are happy to talk to somebody outside of their own family. hopefully you have more time to focus on your sales strategy rather than sitting in traffic or sitting at an airport, traveling back and forth to the meetings. And really, the pandemic has provided us with a common ground to allow us to help build relationships. So there are some positive things that have come out of this that can really help us through that sales engagement process. What we're going to do after the breakout groups, and we share some of those ideas at the end of the session with time permitting, we're going to provide more of an open forum with an opportunity to present, you know, a specific challenge that you may be experiencing within your daily work, or just a question that you might have that you can pose to the whole group. So again, we can leverage those experiences to help each other address these challenges and take advantage of the opportunities. Before we start though, let's assume for now that we have all figured out the work from home and the virtual meeting protocol. That really shouldn't be the focus of the discussion today. You need to turn on your video whenever possible. You need to prevent yourself professionally. You need to have an appropriate background, and you need to minimize distractions. You need to know where the mute button is. But we're going to assume we know all of that, and we're going to instead focus on the tactics that have made your virtual selling more successful. Now, having said that, I did have an interesting experience yesterday. Was on line with one of the clients I represent. We were getting onboarded onto a new CRM system, and the person that was doing that onboarding was obviously in an apartment or a condominium of some sort, and at her dining room table, which is a lot of people are in that same situation. And during the meeting, somebody, I assume her partner maybe, ran across the back behind where she was presenting. And he kind of crouched as he went back, thinking that if he crouched a bit, that maybe he'd miss the camera and we wouldn't see him, but it didn't work that way. He opened a door which behind her, which I assume was the bathroom, and the light came on, and he went in there for a couple of minutes. And then he came back and he ran back across behind her with a little crouch again to get to the other side. And I must admit, through that entire 3-minute sequence, I don't think I heard anything she said because I was so enamored with what was going on in that. So it is important. It's not always possible. We're all in difficult situations, but it is important where possible to minimize those distractions. So with that said, Kelly, let's break out into some groups. Again, I think we're going to do groups of 3 or 4. The idea is really just between the individuals to share some of the successes, share some of the challenges, and then when we come back, have a representative from the group read out some of those top ideas and share them with the overall team.
Okay, so bear with me because I'm just trying to create them, so I don't know how everybody will land into groups. So give me a second here. Actually, I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to try it this way. We'll try it this way and see how it goes. And then I just have to add one more. Okay, I think I've got everybody into a room. If you haven't ended up in a room, I guess I will find out in a minute here. Okay.
Big cat room.
There. Oh. Okay, there we go. I think everybody's in a room. Okay, well, we're back in. There we go. People are coming back in.
Well, they found their way back to the right meeting. That's good.
That's it. Hopefully I didn't lose everybody.
You think everybody's back?
I don't know. We're missing some here. Well, we still have breakout room in progress. Oh, it's saying it's going to close in 25 seconds. So that I figured out there. So they've okay. got 20 seconds and then they should pop back in here.
Perfect.
Ryan, did you end up in a room?
Yeah, I spoke with Peter, Rami, and Sam. We're breakout room okay. number 3.
Okay, there we go. Everybody's back in.
I think we needed more time.
Well, you know what? It was funny because we put a timer and said we're at 5 minutes, and yeah. everybody in our group said, oh, okay. So we put it on for another 5. Okay, that's good to know. And that's one of the things. But you know what? Coming back into here, maybe what we could do is you still have some time. So I'll turn it over to John.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm glad to hear that there wasn't enough time because that means that there was good dialogue and that's the point of the exercise. But as Kelly said, that doesn't need to stop. We broke out into smaller groups because sometimes it's easier to get everybody involved in the smaller groups than it is in a larger audience. But now that we're back together, we'll go through the groups, we'll share some of those top ideas, but let's continue to keep it interactive. If you have a question or a comment related to one of the thoughts or ideas that's presented, let's make sure that we jump in and keep the dialogue active. So with that, if you know you were group one, is there a representative from breakout group one that can...
I think, was that me, Kel? Was I
yeah, one? I was gonna say that's you, yeah.
Yeah, so. Cool, right, thank you. So I'm still struggling. Alkaline, is that how I say your name again?
Yeah.
Alkaline, awesome, mate. So I had Alkaline, Carol, and Stephen were my group. And I've got to say, this breakout thing is really good, Kelly. Like, that's the first time I've actually had that in this sort of forum. And so we got into some really good information. We started with Stephen. He basically was just saying that he's finding it so much easier to get in touch with people. And to John's point around, apart from speaking to your family, people want to talk to other people. And so he's literally just been getting on the phone and just connecting with people. And there's been no real intent in relation to, sales, but more about just reconnecting a relationship and then using, that sort of forum to sort of work out, is there opportunities and things of that nature, which I thought was interesting. Carol was talking about the fact that still lots of phone calls and lots of follow-ups with her old customers. But the challenge for Carol has been Zoom. And, in those Zoom meetings, I think a good case study is for us today. Like when I've previously attended these sales groups, I've been downtown, it's been Ryan and 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 other people. And the connection you have in that face-to-face group is so strong. And then obviously in a forum like this, we've got double the attendees, but we haven't got that connection of being able to get there a bit early, ask someone about what's going on, sharing about, these more intimate details, which you're more inclined to share in a face-to-face offering. And then Alkaline, mate, he's had some huge challenges. Essentially, his business was looking really strong in January, and he went to a paid model. Then COVID hit, and he got a 60% reduction in his customer base. And
looks like Graham froze there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, here, Stephen, you're on mute. There we go.
He is.
Akala, you can continue where he left off.
Oh, Graham, I think you're back. There we go.
You there, Graham? No.
I think
we lost
Graham in an episode of Star Trek.
Yeah.
Well, this is a good example of the crazy things that happen during a Zoom call that we need to manage.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the point that Graham brought up, I think maybe it was initiated by Carol, not having that face-to-face time, not, you know, as you get into a meeting room when you're meeting with a client, you do have those few minutes before things get started. And I find we tend to forget that in a video meeting environment. And we tend to, get everybody on and then jump right into the agenda. So I think, I think it's a good practice to actually work at building rapport into the beginning of each meeting. Consciously think about, I'm going to spend the first 5 minutes of this meeting or whatever time you need, that we're going to do some small talk. We're going to see, how folks are doing, some of the challenges they're having, some of the opportunities, what they did over the summer vacation, just your typical rapport building activities, but really make a conscious effort to build that into the agenda. Because I think, and I don't know what the psychological reason is, but for some reason, I think in most cases, we don't do that because we don't have that same warm feeling as we do when we're shaking hands and drinking a coffee, waiting for the presentation to start in a meeting room.
No, that's a good point. And there, that's one of the reasons we're trying to open up kind of the Zoom room a few minutes early, because for us personally, when people were coming in, so to try to help with that, did you want to go? We'll jump to
group two,
which was us actually. So in that perspective, it was Neelan was saying that they're having a little bit more of a difficult time at the beginning differentiating between who's actually serious and who's just looking. So they've changed their model a little bit in order to be able to filter that out. Kevin actually had a tool that he's been using called Mural, and it was about $12 a month. And it's a collaborative tool. So people can get on there, and it's kind of like when you're working at a whiteboard to put your stickies up, and people can work together. So that tool, Kevin has said, has worked really well. I don't know if you want to elaborate a little bit more on that, Kevin.
Yeah, I mean, you did a pretty good job there. I would just say it's, there's a lot of tools out there that try to mimic a whiteboard. Like even Zoom has tools in there. When you do your screen share, you could share a virtual whiteboard, but they all seem to be missing a lot of kind of things that you would be used to having in the virtual world, like the ability for everybody to have, their own pack of sticky notes that they can put up and classify and move around. And Mural is probably one of the best tools I've seen. If you relied on a whiteboard for physical meetings, you should probably check this out if you haven't already.
Yeah. And one of the things even John was talking about was retaining people's attention. And I think we're all having that fatigue of being online. And sort of sitting, some of us sitting at your kitchen table, dining room table. John experienced just the distraction going by. I know the other day I had even my dog, she did it today, never plays with her squeaky toy and decided to play with it. So it's some of those things, it's the retention of it. So a suggestion John had was breaking the meetings up into smaller chunks. So instead of going, okay, let's do an hour and a half of a meeting, it was do 3 30-minute meetings to tackle some different points. And he found that keeping attention that way was a little bit better as well. Okay. Did I miss it? Did I miss anything from my group?
The only thing I'd add, in addition to, keeping the meeting shorter and maybe more frequent, is to change up your activities throughout the meeting, even if it is shorter. So try to avoid putting a PowerPoint up and having all of the, the Zoom images down on the side for an extended period of time. You've got to keep the audience engaged. You've got to maybe build some more questions into your presentation so that you're coming off the PowerPoint and asking some questions and getting people engaged, making sure they're participating. We should have been doing that even in our in-person meetings, but it's even more important to look at those types of things in your virtual meetings.
Okay, and then we'll go to room three. So it was Peter, Rami, Ryan, and Sam. Who's your spokesperson?
Go, Ryan.
Oh, I'm going? Okay. I guess I got started on our conversation. One of the things I was talking about, I guess, with TechNexus is that we haven't been able to bring in rent event revenue for the last 6 months. So the pressure's on. Can you continue with membership acquisition? And we did lose members during like the start of COVID. And trying to have conversations with former members that we lost because of financial issues, and how to come across not trying to be greedy. I know I'm trying to find the balance, the cadence of talking to former members about coming back to the association, but not wanting to make it all about, you know, the financial cost, and trying to work that way and try to be sensitive because people still are probably in financial, you know, having financial issues. So I'm trying to navigate those conversations. And then talking with potential members, obviously it's kind of the same thing, not knowing their background and not having that rapport with them. I guess it's really about the talk and sensitivity about, you know, where they are financially, and also trying to, you know, differentiate ourselves, you know, why they should join TechConnects. Versus, like, you know, the old TechNex when we were all in person versus the virtual, you know, there's good and bad with both sides. So that's what we were discussing. And then Peter was talking about, you know, trying to talk and get a hold of, you know, key decision makers you know, there has been some success, but also has been a challenge, especially with people not being in the office, you know, getting that personal, maybe the personal phone number, or, you know, trying to get through the gatekeeper. So that's what we brought up.
Yeah, I think you bring up an excellent point, Ryan, in the with empathy, and it's really critical now. You know, we need to remember why we've been thrust into this virtual environment, and there is a pandemic out there. And as much as we all want to get back to business, and we should be focusing on getting back to business, we do need to realize that it has impacted people's lives, both professionally and personally. And we need to, if we demonstrate genuine empathy through our dialogue and in our rapport building when we meet with these folks, then it's going to just help strengthen that relationship, and I think enable us to navigate through the sales process more quickly and more effectively. So, you know, we can't put the blinders on and say, it's all business, nothing's happening around us, nothing's impacted this person outside of this meeting. We have to be aware of those things, the impact that it's had on people. I mean, you look at today, within the city of Toronto, people are sending their kids back to school for the first time. That has an impact on people. And if I've got a sales meeting today with somebody whose child is going back for the first time, or maybe they're starting their virtual learning sessions, we need to recognize that. We need to acknowledge it, not let it overconsume us, but we need to acknowledge it and show some empathy and then move forward with our business activities.
Well, one of the things I also struggled with, I had a call with a former member who left the association because of with COVID. And I brought up, you know, is there any chance that you are thinking about coming back? And it kind of got brushed off. Like, it wasn't even acknowledged. And it was like, so was this conversation really about, you know, are we friends, or is this really about you just wanting me to come back to TechConnects? And then that's the way I was, you know, kind of slicing up the conversation. It was kind of, it's a bit of both to check in, but also, you know, you were very active while you were here. Now you're not here, so I'm just, but I got brushed off. So obviously things are not where they want to be. So it got a little awkward at the end. So I'm just, you know, like you said, the empathy and, you know, trying to build, you know, build up the rapport, but it's also, is there any tools or anything I could possibly use to, you know, navigate those sensitive conversations? Because not everybody's in the same boat. So I'm just trying to be cognizant with that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just recognizing what you recognized, and everybody does move through these types of things at a different speed and reaches different level of acceptance. And if you bump into somebody that's going to brush it off, then probably they're not ready to have that conversation and not ready to come back to TechConnects. So you need to kind of make a note and circle back and try again a little bit later and see if they're more open to that dialogue at that point. But you certainly certainly can't force it.
Now, are there things that are working really well for people? Like, are there things that you have tried that seem to be extremely successful for you?
So I'd like to say what's been working for me, and then also just make a comment about what Ryan was just saying. So Ryan, first of all, thanks for sharing that. You know, I think everyone here, I know I'll speak for myself, I've gone through certain types of that parts of that discussion. So Instacart.
Yeah.
I wanted to relate that what I did in March, you know, it's not necessarily personal. In March, I looked at all the memberships and all the associations that I was part of. You know, it's so easy and so fun. Oh, I want to be part of this. I want to be part of that and go on this trip. And I wasn't feeling like, oh my God, I need to cut expenses because I'm not going to be able to pay the rent. However, I still looked at the sales, and my sales were about to take a nosedive, and I didn't know how long that was going to go on. So I literally took a piece of paper out and I wrote down all the associations, and I rated them, and I crossed a bunch off at the bottom. It wasn't personal. It was just a matter of, I can't justify being part of everything. I have to show that I'm cutting my expenses because I'm also cutting my revenue. That was my personal experience. So Tech Connect's good for you. What has worked for me is that when I've been doing the so-called cold call to try to start a new relationship or to reach out someone new, you know, it's not really cold anymore because we're supposed to be blogging and LinkedIning and all of that other kind of thing. But there's still that first time you actually reach out to somebody. I always struggled with developing a new relationship and those first few steps mm-hmm. of the relationship. And what I found is that my success has gone way up in the last 3 months compared to ever in my entire history. And I think the one difference is now when I'm reaching out to somebody, I'm absolutely not trying to sell something, and I'm not even really trying to market. So in the past, I would always include in my email or voicemail or what I would barf out in the first 30 seconds, there'd be something I'm thinking about, what is special or unique about me or what my benefit is. And I'm not doing that at all. I'm just reaching out to someone and say, hey, I'm here. I want to talk to you. This is what we have in common. Do you want to have, we should set up 15 minutes to chat. And my success rate on that is over 70%, maybe not 90, but over 70%. And so I love that.
Now, just a quick question on that, Stephen, as you're kind of, you're saying what we have in common, is this business related, personal related, a mix of things, just because you're just trying to connect. You're not in the, okay, I'm going to sell things right up front. Correct?
Good point. So, in the first 3 months of COVID, so March, April, May, I was trying to reconnect with everybody, business or personal, and I didn't really differentiate. Now, starting, I would say, fourth week of August, now I'm being more conservative with my time and more specific. I do have expectations that stuff is going to lead somewhere for revenue. So now I am deciding who I'm going to call and who I want to set meetings with. So my initial contact is still, I'm not suggesting there's something that I'm trying to sell them. However, it's a business relationship that I am trying to start or to continue.
Okay.
Yeah. So can I mention something in our, this is Sam, in our conversation, Ryan brought a good point. It's sort of the COVID situation brought on some opportunities, reaching out to, you know, the potential clients that you wouldn't even try to or think about, you know, Calgary remotely. Similarly for us, it seemed on the outset that we have a bigger opportunity because our service, you know, our software is cloud-based. It's, you know, remote, secure. You can lock it by location, by device, all that stuff. But at the same time, closing the deal or getting somebody to change what they have at the moment turned out to be a challenge. And I'm attributing that of, you know, due to the uncertainty of, you know, where we are. You know, people, you know, I give the example, would you change your car today? You know, so I'm not sure if somebody else has faced similar situation. And what do you guys suggest? John, what do you think of that?
Yeah, no, I think it's a great point. And I think the reality is that that's not necessarily attributed to the fact that we're selling virtual now. I think even if we had the opportunity to meet with individuals face-to-face, we'd be running into the same challenge. The reality is that in many companies, priorities have changed. Some companies have had to let resources go. Some people have had to reprioritize budget to be able to focus on different things. So it is absolutely going to impact our ability to close deals. Whether we were trying to negotiate that close in person or virtually, I don't think necessarily has to have a huge impact on that. I think we can be as successful virtually using the right tactics to be able to close those deals. But the reality is a lot of us are struggling because the companies aren't spending money the way they did back earlier in the year or last year.
I think as well, sorry, Kel, can I just jump in there? So like Tech Connect, Think Fuel Marketing, all the service providers on here, I suppose also product providers as well. It's all about like your return on your investment. You know, so like, if you can communicate really well, like Tech Connect. So for instance, you know, there's different levels of membership and costs per year for Tech Connect. But by having the head of sales on this call for this particular business that is umming and ahhing in relation to if they're going to continue on with Tech Connect or not. And that could mean that the tactics or what they learn from this call is then going to secure a significant client for that particular business, you know, and it's a no-brainer, you know, but it's just about how you can communicate the value. And, you know, if you said to that person, well, it's going to cost you, you know, $2,000, but out of this, you're going to get a client that's worth $50,000. They do it all day, every day. But it's just how well we can obviously, and I'm the same, I'm a service provider, and how well I can communicate to my prospective clients as well as my current clients to continue to invest in my programs to be able to add the value that they in a really uncertain time.
Actually, Graham, and funny enough, because I was actually going to ask you a question, is what it was, because I see, and you've started your YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. So the question there is, how is that translating for some of your business opportunities? Is it changing things for you? You're getting a little bit more exposure because you're not necessarily just going, okay, here's, you know, Rice FX. You're giving things. So that's my exactly. question to you. How's that going?
Yeah, it's because in our business we're receiving and sending large amounts of money. So the way that we were able to create, and to John's point, his first point was trust, was we were literally sitting face-to-face in conference rooms, over lunch, over dinner, at Raptors games, at Leafs games. And obviously that, I literally went to the last Leafs game, I think it was on the 10th of March, when they're allowed crowds. And that's all gone. And so now, like with what we're doing with YouTube, we've had to create a lot of, now we're doing is video content to try and connect with people to then, okay, let's get an understanding of who Graham is, who Rice FX is. And then, and unfortunately, when you said, what are the successes? I haven't got a success out of it yet, but it's still, I'm still going through a process. You know, so we haven't really landed what we're doing with our video content. We're close to, and I'm hoping over the next few months I can come back to this meeting and give you guys an update. But we've gone from, we've dropped about 55 to 60% of our revenue from March to now. And, you know, fortunately we were in a strong position prior to COVID, but now I'm just working extremely hard to really try and solve this, this online challenge. And I'm a real life case study each month checking in.
Okay. Hello. Yeah, I have a question for Stephen. Hi, Stephen. Yeah, when you talk about your first call successful rate has been increased about 70%. So this is your first call. So this is a call or this is a message you left to your prospect.
Can you repeat the very last part?
Sure. So I mean, so your initial calls, the successful rate increases 70%. And so this is a prospecting call or does it include your the message you left the message?
So my goal is to, the first call is actually not to sell anything. And I have to admit that often I go over that line that I've set for myself. I really don't want to have that conversation where I get to a point where I'm selling something. I think it's just too fast and I try to hold myself back. I don't know the science in that. I don't know what the experts in sales and people who are better, who have done that more will tell me about that. But my gut is that, if this is the first time I've talked to someone in, say, more than 12 months, I just want to be developing the relationship, learn a little bit about them, share a little bit, and I do say something about what's the next contact going to be. It's either already come out obvious, we've identified something businessy, or actually, to your question earlier, it might be a personal thing. And I say, okay, you know, let's touch base on this, or I'll follow up with you on X if there was something in the conversation. And if nothing, if I can't think of anything like that, within, you know, about a half an hour of the call at the most, I try not to let it go on too long and just yap away. I kind of will say something general like, you know, this is great. We should stay in touch. You know, how do you think we should stay in touch? And then I shut up and I let the other person say, and I kind of get a gauge. And sometimes they say right away, oh, I really want to talk a bit more about X or Y, or they'll offer up something that's more general. And I'll plan to, if I don't hear anything specific, I'm still going to call that person within 90 days and do something a little bit more specifically tailored towards our conversation.
Thank you for sharing.
All right, Kelly, I think we're bumping up to 9:30. Did we get through all of the breakout groups?
Yeah, we did. Okay, all three of them. Okay, so, you know, one of the things is for anybody, and this is one thing John wanted to do, is there a specific ask that anybody has? So, you know, throw it out there to the universe. Do you have a specific ask? Is there, you know, an introduction that you had? Was there a question that anybody had? So this is one of the things that we want to do. So even if you don't have anything right now, maybe think going forward with some of the things. I know our next session is going to be on adding value and insights to customer conversations. So if you had any specific asks for that, but that's what the next conversation will be around. That one is on October 14th. So you can sign up for there. The other thing too, I know John is just saying if there's any feedback to kind of change it, because we want to make sure that this is a little bit more conversation oriented. But if you do have an ask and you're not wanting to do it right now, you can send it to me and we can always put some of these notes together for everybody as well. And a couple of things that are coming up tomorrow, we actually have our CIO peer group. You don't have to be a CIO in order to attend, but it gives you a little bit of insight. It's actually Kalei from Pathway Communications, and he's pretty brilliant with the way he does things. Ryan can maybe touch on that a little bit more. Next Thursday is our product management peer group. So it's just kind of on roles and responsibilities for product managers. And it is Lee Garrison. He's a treasurer right now at the Toronto Product Management Association. He's got a lot of great insight there. And next Wednesday is a lunch and learn. And they're complimentary. So reach out to anybody there. It's on performance and cultural alignment. And this one, he is the vice president of Carpedia International, who's going to be coming in and talking. And he's going to relay some stories right now of what's happening to COVID, but he's really going to be talking about how to align your teams in order to increase your profitability and productivity all around, and give you a couple of situations there. So that's next Wednesday, September 23rd at lunchtime. But does anybody have any questions?
I was going to add, Kel. So Akshay tomorrow will be talking about the relevance in the new economy, talking about the emphasis on product design and innovation, and also talking about the impact of AI and automation it's going to have going forward. And he's going to probably talk about education, probably some politics as well. So it's really open to anybody. It's just not for CIOs or CTOs. It's a really, if you are the one managing your business, this might be a good conversation on a higher technical level versus most of our conversations, because actually it's pretty brilliant. So if you want some thought-provoking conversation tomorrow at 8:45, please join us.
Okay. Is there anything else before we sign off here?
Oh yeah, one last thing. Everything gets recorded, and so everything's getting posted on the website. So we've been recording and posting all the peer groups. And I just did a podcast with Mark Morissette of Fox Quilt, talking about his success with his company, and talking about some do's and don'ts about and working with VCs, and talking about kind of the difference between the Canadian and American market. So I think it's a worthwhile listen. Mark's great. I'm not. So I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. And I just want to add, I want to thank everybody for their participation. And I want to encourage feedback and suggestions through Kelly. These sessions have been designed to be our sessions, for us to get value out of, that we can take back and apply immediately in our day-to-day jobs. So any feedback and suggestions, get those back to Kelly, and we'll look forward to the next session on October 14th.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, thanks.
Awesome. Thanks, everyone.
Enjoy the day. Take care.
Take care.
Bye. Thank you. Bye now.